Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final seconds, George. He's going to fire it up. Hits at the horn. Dallas gets the equalizer. Big road win for the Mavericks in Los Angeles. And this first round series is tied at 1-1.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. The Dallas Mavericks, the first team in the Western Conference to win a road playoff game with a 96-93 win over the Clippers in Los Angeles, despite Kawhi Leonard's return. Good morning, Metroplex. Coffee a little extra strong this morning. If you stayed up till midnight, get ready for it again. 8:50 puck drop this evening for the Dallas Stars in Vegas, game two. But all the headlines here, I'm getting a little bit worried that the media is going to cause Luka to be targeted now. I'm a little bit worried because every damn headline, ESPN.com will never again in the history of their existence have the top story, Luka's defense leads Mavs to win. Never will that ever happen again. But Tim McMahon, his column, his profile, it's all on how all these defenders against Luka couldn't score. James Harden was locked down. So is that going to put a little extra pressure on Luka to go ahead and play this level of defense, which he did play like early on? It was noticeable. It's like, oh my gosh, okay, he's accepting some challenges right here. He is more capable of this than the entire world thinks, and Jay Kidd praised him for it after.
Yeah, I think his defense has been great, you know, this whole series, understanding that we know that they're going to put him in every pick and roll. And a couple years ago, we saw this, and, you know, he's made, you know, understand that we had to tell him to participate. But I think he's participating at a high level on both ends. We need him on the offensive end, but we also need him on the defensive end. And he's been able to do that here in the first two games.
They love to call it hunting. Remember Phoenix? It was like, yep. Go at him, yes. In the playoff series. The Clippers shot 37% from the floor, their lowest field goal percentage of the entire season. 2 of 17 when Luka was the primary defender. Missed all 11 shots that Luka contested. James Harden, who Luka defended the most last night, 1 of 5. And I'm just hoping that the Clippers aren't going to be like, put up every headline like the Cowboys do when they show what we tweet and what we say.
Right.
And say, y'all turn him into Dennis Rodman out here. Y'all turn this guy into Bruce Bowen. Are you going to freaking allow that? And I hope that some of this hype and praise doesn't get Luka hunted for the remainder of the series.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a defensively, one of his best showings. That's something that you probably should see. I mean, he's not a physically limited individual. He's not 5'11". He's a huge. I mean, he's going to have a physical advantage over, you know, just from a size perspective, over a lot of players. Like, you know, he should be able to hold his own. It's just a matter of, you know, sometimes his footwork, sometimes being in the right spot, not chasing. But more importantly, it's effort. There's a lot of effort things. Like, how badly do you want to be a defender? A lot of guys don't want it. A lot of guys don't want to be a defensive player. Some guys can't help it. They can want it all they want. Like Steve Kerr. Like, he could want to be a great defensive player all he wants. Like, he was physically limited. It wasn't going to happen. He wasn't shutting down Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Luka. I mean, Luka doesn't want to, like, clearly he wants to be known as the offensive player that he is. But the biggest thing for everybody was just show effort. Like, the biggest problems that most people have with Luka are effort and conditioning and complaining. And it's stuff that feels like it's within his control. If there's effort there, you can get by with Luka as one of the, like, defenders on the court regularly. The problem is just a lot of times the effort hasn't been there. Put in that effort on both sides of the floor, and he's talked about that. He told whoever, Vogue, or whoever
Reddit is.
Yeah, sorry, it's GQ or whichever one it was, that, like, effort's been a big part of it this year, and that's something that's changed with him. You can see the actual effort being put out.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN Insider, was asked this morning, who is the biggest threat to Denver in the West?
I think it's Dallas, and it's because of the maturity of Luka Doncic. I mean, this was probably the best defensive game he's played his career. The Clippers shot 2 of 17. I'm going to say this again. The Clippers shot 2 of 17 with Luka as the primary defender. This guy's been a defensive hole most of his career. He's getting it done at both ends. Plus, the Clippers were throwing double teams at him, Greeny. He just handled it. He knows where to go with the ball. He's got teammates who can stretch the floor. Kyrie Irving with an under-control performance. A very second-stage, mature performance by Luka. This is a warning sign for the rest of the league that he's developing like this.
Ooh, okay. Pump the brakes a little bit. don't draw too much attention.
All gas, baby.
Don't draw too much attention.
All gas.
To the great T. Rainey and D for sending me that Windhorst clip. No. Because then everyone's going to be, okay, so you're locked down now. All right, Paul, you're going to have this quarter. Kawhi, you take that quarter. Harden, you take that quarter. I'm a little worried about that.
Well, at least the quarter with Paul playing, we know that everything will be okay still.
So is that still the narrative? Because, like, that was the bubble narrative, right?
Who's the bigger playoff choker for you now between Harden and George?
Oh, I just think it's hilarious that Paul George would refer to himself as, like, some playoff, like, locked in. Like, for all the stuff Harden does, Harden's never been like, oh, wait till playoffs get here, baby. Like, when Paul George is standing up there going, like, y'all ain't met playoff P yet, baby?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a different kind of cat. It's like, okay, you're a loser. That's what you are.
Chop, history telling us we may be wrong about all the Mavs over Clippers selections we made.
This is from Kevin Pelton of ESPN. By the way, the Clippers had the 11th best record in the NBA after the All-Star break in the West. I'm sorry, not in the NBA, in the West.
The 11th?
11th best post-All-Star break record in the West. They were 15-14. The only other teams that were worse didn't make the postseason. Basically in the whole league, too. The Mavs went 16-2. We all know that. So, what happens? Well, basically, March and April's results stay in the regular season and don't carry over to the playoffs. This is the write-up. History tells us it's more important to play well in the first half of the season than the second half being the All-Star break.
Mm.
Over the last 10 playoffs, not counting the bubble, they throw the bubble out because there's too much randomness in there. The team with the better net rating before the All-Star break has won 73% of all series. The team with the better net rating post-All-Star break has won just 62%. The reason those numbers are like that, some overlap. Like, Minnesota probably has a better net rating both the first half and second half than Phoenix. So, like, that would count for both. Now, part of this is a couple things. Before the All-Star break,
so
a lot more
games. So,
this
is trying to say momentum at the end.
Doesn't matter. Higher seeds that do better in the first half when you account for, like, the home court advantage and everything. Higher seeds that do better in the first half win 77% of those series than those after the All-Star break. And the higher seeds, such as the Clippers, that outplay their opponents before the break and are worse after, still win 76% of their series. Still. Now, when that's reversed and the higher seed is worse before the break and better after, it's barely over 50%. So, let's say the Mavs, if they were the 4 seed here, they would only win about 50%. But the Clippers are the better seed, higher seed, you're looking at a 76% number. You continue to go down. Now, because the Mavericks made a deadline deal or two. All right? So a team like that, since the year 2000, there have been 6 teams that made a deadline trade where they A, improved their net rating by 2 points or more, and B, changed over as much of the starting lineup as the Mavs did, or got as much help in pieces because they got two new guys. Four of them lost in the first round, one lost in the conference semifinals, and LeBron lost in the finals 1 year. Basically, everybody has lost in the first round, 66% of them. And then one team made it to the second round, and then one other team made it to the conference finals. So history, not exactly on their side when it comes to, it's better. I say it's better to play better in the first half than the second half.
So if they win in five or six, then this gets flushed for this series.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Now, the second series depends on who they play. Like, you know, they would play Oklahoma City. You have to see what their net rating would be in the first half versus the second half. I imagine the Mavs' net rating in the second half is going to be better because they're probably better than everybody in the league in the second half. But the first half, it would still play.
Doesn't it change things, though, when you're trying to look at, like, why did the net rating change? Like, you changed people on the roster?
Yeah, and that's where it says, like, if you, with the teams with the deadline deals, the six other teams that changed over as much of the roster and had as much of a positive net rating after, most of them lost in the first round. Four of the six lost in the first round.
877-881-1053 is the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. Speaking of hoops, what is happening? Fort Worth Watch with you and Peyton Russell. What's going on? Talking to you, Choppy.
What do we do with Fort Worth?
Haley Van Lith.
Thank you, Peyton.
Oh, see, you could have just said TCU. You could have just said TCU. I'm on two. We're all on 2 hours of sleep here.
Yeah, Sean. This is your fault.
She's not committed. She's not committed to TCU.
When has she ever been committed?
She's on her, like, about to be on her fourth school, right? She's apparently still in the transfer portal and not committed officially to the Horned Frogs. I thought this was a done deal. Everybody said that she is committing to TCU. And now it comes out, what, is it because Cavender left?
Yeah.
She didn't want to play with, she wanted to play with Haley and not with anybody else. Is she going to go back to LSU? Is Kim Mulkey going to accept her back? Is she getting the NIL money from LSU? Where's she going to go? Louisville again?
I don't think they're going to accept her back after she turned around and went like this. Like after Caitlin Clark made a shot, it was just like, I don't know. What do you want me to do? I can't play defense.
I mean, Jordan did the same thing. I don't know what to do.
No. Jordan shrugged. Jordan was like, how the hell am I supposed to even miss a shot?
Yeah.
Hers was like, how the hell am I supposed to stop her from missing a shot?
It's like what do you want me to do? Darvin Ham talking about Joker. Like, I don't know. I don't know. S. I have no idea. No plan. Pepe, would you like to weigh in on this stalking or no?
Not yet. You know, I think maybe my girlfriend's listening, so I'm going to hold off now.
I thought she only listens Thursdays at 6:40.
No, she has the Odyssey app now.
Isn't she supposed to be at work?
Yeah, but she has breaks and stuff.
The amount of people that can listen at their jobs on this show, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I'm like,
I have something to say about it. I think that when Haley Cavender left, that was her name, right? Haley?
Yeah, it was Haley.
Yeah, because these are two Haleys. I think that she saw Haley Cavender leave, and she saw that she was going to miss an opportunity for some very valuable content that the two of them could have created socially, like on social media. And she was like, all right, fine. We can't be social media stars together. This impacts my earning potential. I no longer want to be at TCU.
I don't care about that story. I've never cared about it. We'll never care about it. I cared about...
Oh, now you're a misogynist.
No, because I'm taking it to Kelsey Plum.
Oh, yeah.
She was trending yesterday, WNBA player, after she posted that she's saying goodbye to Darren Waller.
Yes, Josh McDaniels ruining another relationship.
Yeah, I think this is really...
No way. What this says is, like, it was a silly thing to basically demand being traded for Josh McDaniels spoiling a wedding that ended up in divorce, like, less than a year later.
No, there was something about this Kelsey Plum. I don't know her. I guess people think she's hot or whatever. But she's eating She's eating popcorn during a game and made a smile. And the Twitter comments were like, I get it. I know. I get why Darren did what he did. And I was like, what is eating this popcorn or whatever face or smile she made? Is that some code or language I'm not picking up on?
Boy, she has angry eyebrows, bro. Like, she just, the eyebrows
are chiseled
in such a way she looks mad.
Is she the one who threw the shirt giveaway and launched it?
Launch.
That was impressive.
Oh, yeah.
So this WNBA star divorcing Darren Waller.
Yeah, and this is why I blame Josh McDaniels for this. You know, forget the relationship he ruined with the Broncos or the Raiders or the Colts. He's already ruined those, but now he caused a marriage to end. Remember, he was not invited to their wedding.
Nope.
And Kelsey and Darren go on their honeymoon. He returns 12 hours after they return from the honeymoon. He gets traded. And now, I mean, they live in different cities. They're living in different cities. Mm. And that's right after the honeymoon. There's no way for the marriage to be, you know, like saved. You know, you're not there every day. It's much more difficult. You're playing in separate cities. So I blame Josh McDaniels.
Let's make fun of his brother being the story of the week in Major League Baseball for the New York Yankee ejection. Odyssey Baseball insider Brett Boone on the home of the Rangers, whose team they're facing right now. It's Brett's former team as well. Brett Boone joins us next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
He's hit safely in six straight coming in, and he whacks this one high into the air, deep left field, and nobody's going to do anything about this. It's into the second deck in straightaway left for Rodriguez. His first home run of the 2024 season is a majestic blast that gives Seattle a 4-0 lead.
And his Seattle Mariners are now in first place in the American League West. Let's talk about it with former MLB player and, of course, host of the Brett Boone Podcast. He's Brett Boone here on Sean and RJ, home of the Rangers, the Brett Boone Podcast Odyssey Original, featuring the most notable names in baseball and all around sports every week. Brett on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
We're okay. Have you had to apologize? Have you had to apologize for the American League West and how crappy the play has been compared to some of the other divisions so far to start off the year?
It's been shabby, hasn't it? I mean, we come into the season thinking the obvious to my eyes when I'm analyzing everything. It's like the American League East and American League Central, National League Central, two weakest divisions, end up coming out of the gate strong. American League West, which I thought was going to be one of the strongest, coming out of the gate haphazard. But the play in this league will get better. Right now, Seattle took over first place. I don't know. I look at this Rangers team. A lot of injuries. You know, Bradford was off to a great start. He's down. Sabores, you really need in that bullpen. Jung has that devastating injury early for you. And I look at that staff. You still got Evaldi at the top of the top. Lorenzen came in to kind of help out. He's done a good job so far. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting. I still think it's a Mariners, Rangers, Astros division. I don't think the LA Angels are ready to compete, and definitely not the Oakland A's. But it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, the Rangers are still going to have, once they get healthy, they're going to still have that explosive offense. I don't think we can sleep on the Houston Astros. I mean, they've got off to one of the worst starts they have, and they've had the stronghold on that division for a lot of time. They're 7-17, but they've still got the Altuves, Tuckers, Alvarez, Peñas of the world in that offense. Valdez and Javier been hurt. Verlander, I don't know how he keeps doing it. He's back, but he started on the IL. Urquidy's hurt. So a lot of injuries in this division. Right now, Seattle's the healthiest out of all of them. And to be honest, they've got the superior pitching, both in the starting rotation and in the bullpen. They're definitely the class of that division. And top five in all of baseball when it comes to pitching. Offensively, they're going to finish middle of the pack.
Where did you pick Seattle to finish in the West?
Second.
Behind?
I look at the Rangers' run last year, and you know I was a big fan, and, yes. And it didn't surprise me when they went as far as they did. I look at that offense. I know offense can take you so far. All the years I've played, I was on some tremendous offensive team. Offense can take you so far. And I think last year the Rangers had the perfect storm. Montgomery down the stretch was unbelievable. He's, of course, gone on to Arizona. You just can't have these devastating injuries. If you're starting off the season, you had a healthy DeGrom and Scherzer, whatever he's got left in the tank, was in the rotation, I might think a little differently early in the season. But the fact that they're just big question marks at this time, you no longer have Montgomery. I just think the pitching through and through is not as good as the Seattle Mariners. And if the Astros get healthy, that's a power bullpen the Astros got. They didn't address the starting rotation this offseason, but they did address the bullpen. They went out and they got a Josh Hader, the best guy on the market. But sometimes you disrupt a bullpen when you go out and get the coveted closer, when you have a guy that's been an all-star level high leverage situation guy in Presley. You just bring him into the bullpen and Presley's kind of looking around going, wait a minute, I'm not doing a good enough job. Well, obviously ownership's not doing it for that reason. They're doing it because he was the best man available and it'll make our bullpen even more. So far, Presley and Hader out of the gates have been struggling. So a lot of questions in Houston is at the end of their run. Texas, I still think is going to be there, but if Seattle stays healthy with this rotation they've got. They've just got potentially five stoppers at all time in that starting rotation. What I mean by that is, as an offensive player, I come to the ballpark and I say, oh, so-and-so's pitching tonight. Oh, we're going to win tonight. Seattle potentially has five of those guys in the rotation. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Brett Boone, Jonas here, 105 through the Fan. We've been a little concerned about the start Wyatt Langford's had. He was a very, very hot shot prospect. He did really well in spring training, but they don't really pitch the scouting reports the way they do in the regular season. How long does it generally take this like a tremendous talent to figure it out? Like it's on him making adjustments. The league obviously has made adjustments to him.
Well, look, they're so young, these guys. And Langford is a talent. He's going to be a big leaguer for a long time. How good? That's up to him. You look at Baltimore, the number one pick a couple years ago. The kid's 20 years old, Holiday. Came to the big leagues, went 1-for-30 to start his career. Nobody expects to start like that, but these are real. These are beyond just, hey, they're good players. These are generational-type talents. I think it just takes – some guys get it from day one, and some guys take a little bit. I remember getting to the big leagues. I got through the minor leagues really quick, and I thought I was hot stuff. And I got to the big leagues, my first at bat, I had a base hit and an RBI, and I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to mow down the big leagues like I did my AAA year. Well, 6 weeks later, fast forward, I'm sitting in a locker in the old Seattle Kingdom with my hands in my lap or my head in my lap going, man, the big leagues is really hard. It is an adjustment. It's not AAA. It's that AAA, that best starter they got, that number one starter. He might be a fifth or sixth at the big league level. So it's definitely an adjustment, but the talent that Langford has, it will overcome in the long run. It is different, though. The stadiums are different. The atmosphere is different. I can't put my finger on it, but I remember playing my AAA year. I grew up my entire life with my dad being in the big league. So I was at stadiums my entire career. I remember that first time stepping in the box, and I started my career at Camden Yards. And I remember stepping in the box and taking the first pitch and stepping out and looking around. It was just different. I mean, it was a different look. It was like I went from the corner bar to Carnegie Hall. And it was like, okay, I got to make an adjustment. There's another deck on the bleachers. It's just something different. After a while, it'll come, but it takes success. Once you start having some success, it'll snowball like anything else. But it's a process, and I definitely wasn't privy to missing that process. I went through some aches and pains as a kid.
Talking with Brett Boone here on 105 Through the Fan. Brett, you know, we were reading this article yesterday from Jeff Passan at ESPN, and he was talking about the depth that Corey Seager goes into to perfect his swing, and how he'll go find a mirror at every stadium in the major leagues and watch himself swing and gets down all these little tweaks. How big of a perfectionist were you about your swing and your process, and how much of it is just that kind of drilling down of technique, or is that unique to Corey Seager and his process?
No, I don't think it's unique. I definitely had my crazy side too. You know, my infatuation was bats, and they had to be a certain weight, and they had to be exactly. It wasn't a 32.4; it had to be 32.2. It went from that to I know all the mirrors in both leagues, and everybody has checkpoints. Corey Seager, I love the way he hits. I watch him hit, and I think this is how I thought. He's real tight with the bat. They always talk about, oh, hold the bat loose. No, Corey Seager doesn't hold the bat loose. He's got sawdust coming off. But I understand, without explaining it to people, I understand what his thought process is. He's almost like a stock car revving the engine, but you got one foot on the brake, and you're revving, and then all of a sudden you let go of the brake. That's Corey Seager's swing. I think it's an MVP-type player. If he could stay healthy for a full year, Corey Seager, before it's all said and done, is going to be an MVP-type player. And that level that he goes to off the field, it's actually pretty common with a lot of players. Not the masses, not everybody. Some guys just come to the yard, pick a bat, go out, hit BP, and go about their way. But some guys are like the Corey Seagers. I was more like Corey Seager than I was like a normal guy. I was infatuated with my hands and my position, and I could look in the mirror and my teammates would look at me and go, well, you're crazy. No, they have no idea what I'm looking at, but they're just these little subtleties that you wouldn't be able to pick up. I'm sure Corey has checkpoints. He gets in the mirror. He sees that. And if he sees a certain thing, mentally he's going, all right, I got it for tonight. And you move on. But it's the nuances are so subtle that you really can't explain it, even to teammates that understand hitting at the big league level as much as anybody. They can't sometimes understand what we're doing individually because we're a little bit off and a little bit weird.
Baseball story of the week. Your thoughts on your brother's ejection with the fan behind him and everything that went into that.
Uncle Aaron at it again. I tease him all the time about getting thrown out. And I said, you know what, bud? Okay, we've established that you really back your players and you're really never going to back down and you're always going to have their back. We get it, Aaron. We get it. Okay, you've proven that. Now relax and quit chirping on every pitch that doesn't hit the stupid box on the screen. They got to get rid of that box. It's driving people crazy. It's all everybody talks about. I hear the commentators. If it doesn't hit that little, you know, the box, it's definitely a ball, and this guy's having a bad night. Not necessarily true. But, you know, he has a little bit of that reputation coming in. So when umpires hear Aaron talk, it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to let him get to me tonight. So I think all Hunter Wendelstadt was doing was he was at a point early in the game where he's thinking, no, I'm not going to hear it this early. It's the first inning. So he just yelled at Aaron and said, listen, I don't care if a player yells. I don't care who yells, Aaron. You're the captain of that ship over there. Everything I'm gonna blame you on because it's your responsibility. And if I hear anything from that dugout, you're gone. Okay, he set up the rules. Now the players know if I yell something, my skipper might get thrown here. Yeah. And a fan out of nowhere screams. Nobody was at fault. He thinks I think Hunter had good intentions. He said, okay, they tested me. They did it. Aaron, you're gone. Aaron, you know, you see his reaction like, what are you talking about? He did nothing wrong. And he didn't do anything wrong. But I think Hunter, to his defense, he had no idea it was a fan that yelled at him. Yeah. He had just had enough. It was an honest mistake. He's going to get a slap on the wrist. Aaron's going to have no consequences, which he shouldn't. But I laugh. And when I've had 20 texts. What happened there? And why did they do that to him? And I said, reputation precedes you. But no, I think Aaron's doing a great job. That's just what he does. And the great thing about my brother that I love is when he goes out and he argues and he's passionate about it, that's him. That is not an act. That's not premeditated. I can close my eyes and picture him being 8 years old arguing with me on the street in New Jersey when we're playing touch football. That's the way he is. He hasn't changed one bit, and he's very conscious that he wants to be respectful and he wants to do the right thing. He gets going, you rev him up, and that's just him being him. So I think it's funny because it takes me back to my childhood when I see him arguing. I know he's working on not getting thrown out as much, but at some point, you're just who you are, you know, and you don't apologize for it. You go forward, and things work.
Hey, man, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for the time. Hopefully, y'all start losing in this series, and we'll do it again next time.
We might. Yeah, hey, if the last 20 years has anything to do with it, we got a 1-in-20 shot to get in the playoffs. I think this year the Mariners, they're pretty good. They're pretty good, especially in that pitching rotation. See you guys.
Thank you, brother. Fantastic. Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast and Odyssey Original. Make sure to follow the Brett Boone Podcast on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Let's celebrate the Mavs getting even with the KMC Masterpiece next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Let's crosstalk with a KMC Masterpiece here with Mike Bassett.
Yeah, go on, Mike. Keep talking about what you're talking about.
Bobby, shut up.
Yeah.
Mike Bassett, Corey Majors, and Kevin Hagelin, live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. And I have to start with you, Kevin.
What's up?
Because yesterday while listening on the Odyssey app, right after the Cowboys presser, you were almost speechless. You said that was maybe, I forgot how you phrased it, about the...
It was surreal.
The most surreal hour.
It was unbelievable. Like... It was supposed to be about the draft, but they seemed prepared that none of these questions were going to be about the draft because of the embarrassment that was the offseason.
The way not Jerry's what I like, just said.
No.
Oh, Steven. Wow.
But the way that he just came out and doubled down about the all in, and he was like, I'm proud of this team. I believe in this team.
Right off the bat.
We just didn't get it done last year. And I'm like, hold on. So the people you didn't get it done with last year. Now we have less of them,
yeah,
but not any other people that are better.
But you got Diggs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The way we described as if no one on this team could conceivably get hurt, the way he goes, we're going to have all these people back and you don't have to worry about it. I was like, I don't really know if that's how injuries in the NFL work at all. But then amazingly, when we started trotting out, well, you got players like Josh Ball just waiting to step up. You've had a need. An offensive line for a while. Josh Ball's been here for a while. He can't sniff the field for more than 5 seconds because he's not good enough or he gets hurt. But that's one of the guys. And then when he goes, we picked 24th in the draft for a reason. It's because we're the 24th best team in the NFL. That was my favorite moment of the press conference.
I heard Mike do that yesterday as well.
The circus is back.
He also threw
tomorrow night here on The Fan.
He threw John Stevens' name out there. And I don't know if that was, hey, look, I know the roster.
Quarterback?
No, tight end.
He was like, hey, we got him coming back. And you're like, that's not a linebacker,
bro. Wait, the quarterback for Highland Park, his grandson?
No, he's
put on weight. He's going to be the tight end?
Different person. People were very upset with the way that they interacted with Jane Slater, and gaslighting was about to be trending.
Man.
Saying, this is how you get gaslit.
Okay. I'm glad that you said that. Because and
we had Jane on earlier. She did not feel the same way.
Yeah, because she was successfully gaslit.
And I think it wasn't just limited to her. It was him going, it was Jerry saying, I don't know if you guys have noticed, we've used the credit card method in the past. And it was like, everybody knows that. And then he tried to explain how the salary cap works as if people didn't understand. And I'm like, no. We get it. I'm not entirely sure that you guys do. Whenever he says, well, you can't sign all these players unless you save money. Well, I guess, but if you just focus on this year, if you gave an extension to CD and Dak, you would save all kinds of money. And don't give me this, oh, what about next year? Then why do you post June 1st every single cut so you have to pay half of it on the other side?
How far back? Because this is something I want you to do now. And I think you'll get obsessed with it and you'll track it all down.
I can see that.
Good luck. How far back do you need to go to start detailing why we're screwed here?
That's a good
question. 6 years?
1989.
Okay.
Do you love messing with that? Like, do you
Yes, very much so. Because, and that's why.
Luxury taxes and all that?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true. But that's why we had to kind of push back against Steven yesterday and be like, hey, just for the record, though, if Dak leaves, you still have a bill of $40.4 million that comes due, right? And so that's why when they're like, well, we can't sign Dak now because of finances and everything, I was like, okay, let's just say he walks. You still owe him next year $40.4 million. So is the assumption that Trey Lance is going to take off and you're going to pay him $20 million and that's going to fit the same $60 million block? Great.
Or they don't have Lance and they just draft somebody and it's a free, basically a free year minus the $40 million. So you take a one-year hit. And then you reset everything, which, I mean, look.
Do you think they have the... I think that is exactly what they should do. Do you think they have the stomach to take the competitive hit that comes along with that?
I think if any...
They got a yacht. They got a helicopter.
If any front office can do it and survive, it is this one. Like, they can take that risk. But you're right. I mean, like, there is the risk that you don't win. That you're a 5-win team. And then there is the risk that you go into quarterback...
Purgatory.
Well, I could argue in their quarterback purgatory now.
Well, not successfully.
Basically any team that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes is pretty much a quarterback purgatory. Like, you either have a quarterback that wins a title basically every year, or you don't, right? So you're on one.
Colts. Like, the Colts were in quarterback purgatory for, like, 15 years with your guy.
Yes, absolutely. Because
they didn't have Brady, the one guy who was winning every year.
The one guy who was winning every year.
Yeah.
But, no, it's like this. It's you're either, what's closer to winning? Are you closer to winning with a crap quarterback that's going to get you the first overall pick, or with a top, and the Cowboys are closer, but like the 8th through 15th quarterback? Corey, I think you're closer with the number one pick.
Mike, real quick, how many workouts did you get in yesterday during the presser?
I did a 15-minute elliptical workout, but then they told me these guys were, maybe it was last year.
That you're like, they cut it short. Yeah.
And so then I did my 15-minute elliptical. Then I went over to McDonald's and got some chicken McNuggets.
You did?
And then
did you listen to the presser like in your headphones?
No. I don't care what he says.
You did not go downstairs.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to what the Joneses have to say. I don't. What does it matter? It's just words.
Dude. So how did you know when to
come back? Know what? I ran a marathon yesterday. That's Jerry talking about the Cowboys. No, he didn't.
How did you know when to come back?
No, he's an option quarterback.
I just decided, these guys told me that it could be like only 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I decided to set the elliptical at, I'll do a 15-minute elliptical workout.
Are you listening to this?
I am.
He's not lying either.
And then I was, unfortunately what stunk was I was hungry. I was like trying to be healthy. And then I was like, well, I won't do any stretching or anything like that. They took the dumbbells away from downstairs.
I saw that. I noticed that like a month ago. What? I don't know why
gym
they took it away.
Breakdown.
And then I went to McDonald's and got chicken McNuggets and then came back up here and listened to, I mean,
it was. So you only missed one segment. Really?
I guess so. Yeah. I was
like half of it.
As soon as I heard the press conference was on, I took my headphones off and got my day going.
There's only a limited amount of time
in the day.
That's right. Limited amount of time.
And I have to choose, is this worth my time?
You only got 24 hours.
Did you work out up here? He worked out like right here.
Well, yeah, during after I ate my chicken McNuggets, he was still talking about how awesome and everything was.
Did you do the Gabe Kapler?
I'm doing a thing that Derek Collin told me
but
to do.
Gabe, when he would get chicken nuggets, he would peel the breading off the McDonald's nuggets.
Oh, yeah, man, that feels like a lot of work.
Feels like
too.
A lot of work for
if Chick-fil-A does like the that. Really good naked nuggets, which are just grilled.
You think they're good?
Naked?
Are they good?
Mike, do you do hot yoga like Will Chambers?
I don't do hot yoga, but I try stretching.
What do you think of this workout right here from Will Chambers?
Okay, I feel like I should not look at Bobby's phone just as a general rule.
That's very good low back and abs strengthening.
Mike, did anyone see you in the gym and like do a double take or like an elevator? Like, aren't you on air right now?
No. I mean, people use that. Like, you really only use the second floor for the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, people are like, I'm like, oh, they're coming in to work out. No, they're going in there to take a number two.
In privacy.
Yeah,
because there's
a
door
lock,
there's
a shower in there. And so that's what the second floor is used for.
Corey, what's coming up on the show?
That's a scholarship talk.
At 10:20.
He kept using that as an analogy. He goes, imagine your scholarship.
Oh, yeah. We gave five scholarships to one player.
I don't see that anywhere.
He's into Arkansas basketball right now. That's all that's on his mind.
That's fair.
I
do feel like Corey and Kevin, I have improved my life by stop listening to the Joneses. Like, you're mad. I don't care anymore. I used to be mad. I used to care about the Cowboys from about 1985, 86, when my uncle told me, Uncle Joe told me, if I go to another Cowboy game and root for the other team because I was a big Walter Payton fan when they won like 44-3, then I can't do it anymore. I can't go to the games anymore. And you could go for free back then. There's 20,000 empty seats. So credit to Jerry, right? Jerry's like, hey, if we're this bad, how do I still sell out? And he figured it out. And so then from about that moment till about 2021, I was a big Cowboys fan. They would really upset me. And I know that if I engage again, they'll just upset me. They're not going to, they're going to give me no joy in my life. So I'm like, I quit.
Corey.
And it's a great life. It's a better life.
I think the only thing that upsets me is what happens on the field. I don't let the other stuff get like into my life. Kevin definitely cares about budgets, though. He's a big budget guy. So that's always been a factor for him. At 10:20, Eric Dickerson, Hall of Famer, running back, joins the show. And
because of Reggie's Heisman?
Probably so.
Ask him if they should undo the death penalty at SMU.
Yeah.
It's undone now, right? Like, yeah, we're past it. They're not
dead. Give
them
all those scholarships back about that retroactively. Yeah. You got 180 scholarships.
Give them back the ACC money they spent to go in there. Just be like, here, you get this back because you got penalized enough during the death penalty era.
Bruce Bochy joins the show at 12:20 today. He's never been under 500 as the Rangers manager.
It's true, he's not.
Still isn't.
Then he's right at it, right?
But we're not in first place.
We're not in first place. So will he be sad or will he be mad?
Do you want to ask him that?
Are you sad or mad today?
It's only 138 Boat. Games.
I don't know how they're going to manage. Look,
at the end of the day, they didn't execute yesterday.
My God.
That's right.
What happens at the beginning of the day? That's what I want to know, Stephen. What happens at the beginning?
Well,
of
his
day?
Servants make him a meal.
Holy moly.
I had a dream last night, Sean. Yeah,
I don't. They're probably employees.
I had a dream that I got off of an airplane last night.
But there's other people that make his bed and clean his room and everything.
Mike, just you've done enough, right? I had a dream last night that I got off an airplane and Peyton had murdered somebody. And he had told me he had already framed me. And just to be prepared that he was framing me for murder.
Sounds like his body count.
He works for Boeing
now.
And and when I told Reggie that, Reggie goes, he's not doing all that. He's not. And I was just curious on y'all's front.
Because it's too much work.
Is it? Do you think that he could pull something like that off?
No.
Or do you think
he said
that
he's got like an undercover temper? I don't believe it, but I know he hates Bobby way more than you.
Okay, all right.
Sure. I think.
Peyton, you hate me the most, right?
Out of the station, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Who hates Bobby more, Peyton or you?
Oh, it's not me. It's Peyton. I love Bobby.
Sean likes Bobby, but Sean also throws lotion at Bobby.
Oh, yeah, he did. He threw a whole bottle of lotion at me because I was just eating chips and staring into his eyes. It squirted all over him.
We're less than two days away from the 24th pick in the draft.
Yeah, and you're going to announce it at Pluckers tomorrow night with me. The That's KMC right. Masterpiece is next.
I tell you what,
you
I've been studying
even numbers,
hard.
Mike.
I want Caleb Williams. I'm on record. Or Jaden Daniels.
The KMC Masterpiece is next. Celebrate the Mavericks right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.